The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, Amazon is one of the world's most valuable companies. At its current share price, it's worth more than $1 trillion. That's with a T. Sales rocketed during the pandemic as people turned increasingly to online shopping, with Amazon firmly ensconced as top dog in Western e-commerce. But its ambitions don't stop there, and the company's working on ways to further embed itself in our everyday lives. Newstalk's business editor Gavin McLaughlin is here for more on the business of Amazon. Gav, good morning.
Morning, Jonathan.
It all starts at one Mr. Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, so he was a bit of a maths whiz growing up, and he went to Princeton University to study physics. But when he was there, he realised he wasn't really going to cut it as a top theoretical physicist, so he decided to switch subjects to computer science. He then does a number of very good sort of corporate jobs, telecoms, investment banking. But the key really is when he goes to work with a hedge fund called D.E. Shaw & Co. Now, Jeff Bezos used the internet for the first time in 1985 when he was at Princeton. But, and this is quite funny, I think, the commercial potential of it didn't really register with him. It was only at D.E. Shaw in the early 90s that the penny dropped. Because David Shaw, who was the founder of that fund, he had sort of grasped the potential. And together with Bezos, he would brainstorm ideas for how they could make money out of it, basically. What internet projects could they invest in that would make money? This is all documented in a book by the Bloomberg journalist Brad Stone called The Everything Store. And The Everything Store was one of the ideas they came up with at D.E. Shaw in the early days. And ultimately, that's what Amazon has become, of course. You can buy a hell of a lot of stuff on there.
Of course you can. But they started out just doing books, though. Why did they make that decision?
Well, he took the view you can't do everything at the start, and instead you should go for a niche. So he made a list of products that might work, and he decided ultimately on books. There were other companies selling books online, but the service was poor. Books were relatively easy for them to get. There are only two big book distributors in the US that they had to deal with. And another thing, of course, is they had an opportunity to have a massive selection. Because there are so many books in existence, obviously you can't have them all in a physical store. But if you do it the way Bezos did it, where you don't need a physical store, then you can offer a lot more titles, a lot more selection to customers than your bricks and mortar rivals. So that was the thinking, and he decided he'd leave his well-paid job at D.E. Shaw and go and do this on his own because he wanted this to be his company.
Okay, but it wasn't called Amazon. I mean, that's something that came later.
No, it was called Kadabra. As in abracadabra.
And right. I can see why they changed.
Yeah, well, the idea I think was to convey some sense of the magical opportunities that the internet commerce provided. But what was the real clincher for him in changing his mind was that a lawyer said to him, people keep thinking the company is called Cadaver, which obviously is not a good name for a business. So quite simply, he went through the A section of the dictionary. He got to Amazon and he thought, that's it. It's the world's biggest river. We'll be the world's biggest bookstore. The thing you have to remember, though, is, I mean, it's one thing to have the idea for the business. It's quite another to execute it, whereby you become the top dog. Now, Brad Stone, the Bloomberg journalist I mentioned, who's written a number of books on Amazon, he told me in an interview on News Talk how Bezos managed it.
He had incredibly high standards and that kind of stubbornness and impatience that we sometimes, you know, attribute with, you know, difficult CEOs, very intimidating, challenging employees, inspiring them and maybe motivating them with a little bit of fear to move quickly and to work around the clock. And look, Amazon has gone through periods in its history where, you know, the stock price was down, employees left, and Bezos was always a believer, and he kept coming up with new things. So the cloud business, AWS, or the Kindle, or, you know, in this book, I tell the story of Alexa, which basically Jeff invents, he has the idea for. And so it's that combination of, you know, being an inventor, but also able to manage a company as big as Amazon and keep employees all marching in lockstep in the right direction.
Brad Stone from Bloomberg there. Today, of course, it's more than just the world's biggest bookshop. It's one of the most valuable companies, if not, I think it's just behind Apple at this moment in time. Could change by the end of the program. And Bezos, as a result, is one of the world's richest people.
Yeah, and he's been very clever at identifying where to take the business next. So today, really important engine of its growth is what's called Amazon Web Services. Now, it's kind of boring, but it's very clever. It's basically a provider of what's called cloud computing. So the idea is, instead of storing all your data on your hard drive and clogging up your machine, you instead can store it on a server in a data center, and you have the added advantage, of course, of being able to access it on any device from anywhere in the world. So they kind of were, you know, an early mover in this space. They're one of the top operators in the world in this field, and it's an area for them that's grown faster than the shopping part of the business. It's a service that helps customers, and that's the thing about Bezos, to be fair to him. He is obsessive about customers and not losing what they have built, as this 1999 interview demonstrates.
Well, I ask everybody around here to wake up terrified every morning, their sheets drenched in sweat, but to be very precise about what it is they're afraid of. And they shouldn't be afraid of our competitors. They should be afraid of our customers, because it's the customers, those are the folks we have a relationship with. Those are the folks who send us money. And I believe that our customers are loyal to us right up until the second that somebody else offers them a better service. We can by not focusing obsessively on the customer, we can still lose our whole opportunity to make that little bit of history. But I think it's very useful to keep focused on the fact that we haven't built an important and lasting company yet. We're on our way, and if we don't, it'll be shame on us, because in the position we're in, we should be able to do that.
They are a trading business, so they're not immune to circumstance. How are they going to be impacted by the cost of living crisis, Gavin?
Well, clearly the rise in transport costs are going to be a problem in terms of getting stuff delivered to people. They are exposed to the consumer. If the consumer cuts back on spending, that's not good. The Ukraine crisis has been disruptive, and all of this together factored into them actually making a loss in the first quarter of 2022. It was their first quarterly loss in 7 years. And I kind of feel sorry for Andy Jassy, who has presided over that. He's the CEO now. Bezos is going to take a step back from the day-to-day to become executive chairman. So I'd be very interested to see their figures for Q2, which are out in the next couple of weeks. We've more and more indicators, of course, that the consumers are suffering on both sides of the Atlantic, you know, since those Q1 figures came out. But, and this is kind of frightening in some ways, they think that e-commerce is still in its infancy. The vast bulk of shopping still takes place offline, and on that basis, there's still an opportunity for them to grow even during a downturn. Andy Jassy explained at a recent Bloomberg event.
I think there's some things as it relates to Amazon that are useful to remember. You know, I think the first piece is, remember that 85% of the worldwide retail market segment share is offline. And if you believe that equation is going to flip at some point, which we do, I think it will flip over a long period of time. But if you believe that, you know, the companies that have great customer experiences like we do, I think are going to do all right. And you know, and great customer experiences mean you have really broad selection, low prices, and very fast delivery that's reliable to customers. Yeah, you know, I also think that if you look at different downturns, you know, should we have one at some point? And we've been through a few, obviously, in the 25 years that I've been at Amazon. Customers change their habits. You know, they tend to be pickier about what they buy and when they buy and who they buy from. And they often pick the partners and the companies that they trust, you know, and that have great customer experiences, like the dimensions I mentioned earlier. And so I also think there's, you know, those two reasons, those two factors give me some optimism that even if we have a downturn, that we have the potential to still grow.
So they've a lot of innovation. We know that they've the Kindle, they've the Alexa, they've got Amazon Prime, all the things that they're good at. So where do they go next?
Well, I think in the shopping part of the business, the next frontier is groceries. So the non-perishable stuff is easy for them. You can see how people might just have a recurring order to get razor blades or toilet rolls or whatever sent out from Amazon. The difficulty is with fresh produce, which is much more complicated to deliver. And also there's the fact that people do like to go in and choose which steak they want or which piece of fruit, etc. So they have started rolling out their own grocery stores. They call them Amazon Fresh. There's about 50 odd, mostly in the States. And they also have this technology being brought through, you know, where the shops are checkout free. So basically you scan your phone when you go in. There's cameras and sensors that monitor what you take, and you can just walk out. It automatically charges your account. The web services business I think you can expect that will continue to grow very strongly. And after that, who knows? I mean, the delivery of medicines is one option they've talked about. The pharmacies, I'm sure, are a little bit nervous about that. They also have a little home robot called Astro, Jonathan, a tiny little fella like R2-D2 who kind of follows you around and can do little tasks for you. So maybe that's something that'll take off.
Define little tasks? I mean, I'm curious, is he going to do the washing up for me?
He's not quite at that stage yet. I mean, to be honest with you, it sounds exciting, and then when you kind of read through the list of capabilities that it has, it's kind of not that impressive, you know. But apparently you can send it into the room and it'll, you know, ask the kids, are they okay and all this
kind of
thing.
It's Alexa on wheels.
There's a bit of a way to go. It is Alexa. It does have Alexa as well. So there's a bit of a way to go with Astro, I think.
Yeah, stick to the books. Gavin McLaughlin, News Talk's Deputy Business Editor, thank you very much for that.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.